Hey, I'm Darren. I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314, and we are in a series called This Is What We Do. We're talking about who we are as a church and what we do as a church, because if you've ever noticed, there are quite a few different churches that are around, and it's great that there are different churches and different personalities that go along with those churches, because there's different personalities that individuals have. And so what sets one church apart from another one? And that's what we're talking about. What makes Focus 314 special? We're talking about what we do, and we're talking about who we are. We believe that we want to make sure that we talk about this so that everybody can be on the same page. It's important for our church to be on the same page. Maybe you've been attending Focus 314 for a while, or maybe you're newer to the church, and it's important for us to talk about who we are so that we're all on the same page. And why does it matter that we're all on the same page? It's so that when we're on the same page, then we can say, yes, that's my home church, and that's where I want to add value to the kingdom. It's so important for us to add value to the kingdom, and so we want to be a place that you can say, yep, that's it. That's where I want to belong. That's where I want to add value. And what's great about the economy of God is that when we add value, that God multiplies what we have added. That's who we serve. We serve a God of multiplication, not just addition. We want to see God multiply what he has for us in our midst. And that happens when you add value. That God wants to partner with us to see his mission fulfilled. I don't know about you, but that is a tremendous honor, and it's also a tremendous responsibility that we have. We need to make sure that we are adding value to the partnership that God has with us. And let me tell you this, if you are not adding value, then you might be just subtracting it. And that same exact economy works in the same exact opposite order. That if you are not adding, you are subtracting. And not only are you subtracting, but then you are causing division. We need to all be on the same page, so that we can see God multiply inside of our church and multiply the harvest that he has for us. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says this, Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase. Somebody say increase today. We love that word increase. I love that word increase. Except when it has to do with my waistline at Thanksgiving time, right? Like, I love me some pumpkin pie. We want to see increase in all areas except for that time, right? Like, but we love the word increase. We want to see God, who supplies everything to us, continue to increase what he pours out to us. And we love that word because in the original language, when it says increase, it can also be translated to mean enlarge, to magnify, or to multiply. Somebody say multiply today. We want to see what God is going to do in our church, and he will multiply the harvest that he has for us. We all need to be on the same page. We need to make sure that we are all attached to the same vision that God has for us. And what is the vision of our church? The vision of our church is that we want to be a church that is focused on changed lives. We want to help people focus on Jesus no matter what is going on inside of their life. We get the name of our church from Philippians 3:14 that says this, I press on. Somebody say press on. Woo, that's what I'm talking about. I want to see you press on towards everything that God has for you. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That is the goal that each and every single one of us has, and we will press on no matter if we are in a mountaintop victory or if we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We will press on, and that's what we want to help people understand. We want to help every single person that is around to focus their life upon Jesus and aim towards that goal. Never deviating, never wavering away from that. That's what God has for us. That's who we are as a church. That's the vision and the mission that he has given us. Now, how do we see that accomplished? That's where personality comes in a little bit. That's the personality of our church. How do we stick to this vision and how do we stick to this mission? This is who we are and this is what we do. We are a dangerous church. We're going to do things in a dangerous way. Some of y'all see this ladder up here and you're like, oh Lord, this is going to be dangerous today. We do things in an excellent way. We talked about this last week. We don't want to just settle. We don't want to just survive this life. We want to thrive in this life. We are going to work hard. Come on, somebody, right? We're going to keep some margin. Anybody keeping margin in the holiday season? I hope so. That's what God calls us to do, is to do things with excellence. We're going to be a generous church. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be a passionate church. Why? Because he's passionate for us. Ooh, I love that. And then we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to go through a Christmas series called God With Us. Oh, man, I love that so much. That he is Emmanuel, God with us, walking with us no matter what is going on in life circumstances. It's going to be powerful, but we're going to pick up this series again in January at the new year, and we're going to talk about being a life-giving church, not a life-taking church, a life-giving church. We're going to talk about being a leading church, that God has called us to be the head and not the tail. Come on, somebody, right? We're going to be a fun church. Yeah. You know, I love that. I want to be able to have fun wherever I go, and we are going to be a church that will stick to the mission that we have. We will always be on mission. This is who we are, and this is what we do. And today we are talking about being a generous church. We are a generous church. I love talking about generosity because I know that God is generous towards us. He said he loves us so much that what did he do? He gave. He gave what? His one and only son, which really means this. He gave everything. He was so generous to us. Why on earth would we not be generous back to him and to the world around us as well? If God so loved the world, then we should love the world as well. We want to be generous. God is calling us to be generous. We are a generous church. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says this, "You will be enriched in every way." Ooh, don't you love that word, enriched, right? You will be enriched in every way, not just in some ways, not just in a couple of ways, in every way. Why? There's a reason for it. In fact, you hear me say it this way, that God is going to bless you. And why is he going to bless you? There's a reason for it. He's going to enrich you for this reason, so that you can be generous. The blessings that he gives you are not just for yourself, but so that you can be a blessing to the world around you. So that those blessings will overflow from you to the world around you. So that you can have an influence in a powerful way. So that you can be generous on every occasion. Not just when you feel like it. How about this? Monetarily, not just when you have extra. On every occasion. Oh, come on, somebody. Today's going to be a powerful day for us. He is calling us to be generous. He blesses us and enriches us in every single way. Why? So that we can be generous to the world around us at all times. And through us, oh, this is so powerful. And what happens when you are generous is that people will see your generosity and they will thank God because of your generosity. See, even when we are generous, it's not about pointing a finger at ourselves and saying, hey, look how great I am. Hey, look how amazing I am because I was following these principles. No, no, no. It's about pointing other people towards Jesus. He gets all of the glory. That we are generous on every occasion so that people will thank God because of your generosity. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to those around us and so that he can see, so that people can see Jesus through us. We are called to be a generous church. I love this teaching so much. I love it. I hope that it overflows from you. That you are living a life of abundance so much that it overflows. It's so much that you can't hold it yourself, and generosity just overflows from you. It's something that you can't even hold on to, that you just overflow. It's an abundance of generosity flowing from your heart. And they can see the joy that happens. They can give God all of the glory because of it. That's how powerful it is. We want to be a generous church. 1 Timothy 6, 18. Oh, this is powerful right here. Command them. That's a powerful word, isn't it? Command them. Command who? Christ followers. When you choose to become a follower of Jesus, there is a command. And I'm supposed to be here today to give you a command, to teach you, to enrich you, so that you will follow this principle. And what is it? Teach them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and what else? And to be generous and willing to share. That's powerful for us. There is a command. If you say that you are a follower of Jesus, there's a command that you need to follow, and that's to be generous. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus in here today, guess what? You're off the hook, right? That doesn't mean you shouldn't become a Christ follower. I'm not trying to do that, but it really is. For them, if you are a follower of Jesus today, I have to just be honest with you. I'm not going to pull any punches. There is a command that God has given you, and that is to be generous and willing to share. Now, this is very important for us. I want you to understand and grasp that idea of command very, very powerfully. I want to pause for a moment and even talk about all of these principles and all of the values that we are going through. Talking about being an excellent church, talking about being a dangerous church. And as we go and continue to go through this series, not even this series, but any time that we give a teaching that has to do with a biblical teaching, which is every single Sunday, right? When that happens, there is something that I need to enforce inside of you right now. That it's not just a moment for you to hear the words of God on a Sunday and then be able to say to yourself, well, that was nice. And then go off and do whatever you want to do during the rest of the week. It's so important for us to understand that what is going on here is to teach you and to guide you through the rest of your week and through the rest of your life. That we're not here to just talk about and pat ourselves on the back and say, woohoo, I went to church today and I did my good deed. Because here's what happens is that you're kidding yourself. You're lying to yourself and you think, well, I went to church and I'm a good person because of that. You're fooling yourself if you are. And if you're just living the way that you want to the rest of the time. James 1:22 says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. You need to be a doer of the word as well. That the word of God is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. And we need to make sure that we are following it on Sunday, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That there is never a time off that we have from following Jesus. If we're talking about being a dangerous church and having a dangerous faith, you need to make sure you're doing it at all times. If we're talking about doing things with excellence, you need to do it at all times. If we're talking about being generous, it's not just one time of the year, it is doing it at all times. We are talking about how you can live your life. Don't just be a hearer of the word today, be a doer of the word. It's pretty quiet in here today, huh? I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. Why? Because there's not enough time. You don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to just think that life is just a game. We need to make sure that we are doing what God says for us to do and following it. When you wake up tomorrow, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. Live it out. Live out what God has for us. We are a generous church. Anybody excited about what God has for us today? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you three necessary, and I say that word necessary. These are three necessary areas of generosity that if you are a follower of Jesus, that you need to follow. That is a command, not just a calling that you have. It is a command that you need to be generous specifically in these three areas of your life. Number one, you need to be generous in your faith. You need to be generous in your faith. You need to share your faith with people. Boy, we don't live in a culture that teaches that, do we? We don't live in a culture that is open to people sharing their faith today, right? Like, here's what culture tells us. Culture tells us today that it's okay for you to have your own personal faith, right? Just, you have your own personal faith, and then you just keep it to yourself, right? Like, that's fine. You go ahead and live out however you want to be able to live, and I'm going to live however I want to live, right? Like, that's what it is. And it's important for us to say personal faith, like you are a person of faith, because that's everybody, right? But don't say that you're a follower of Jesus, right? Like, I don't like that. Like, you're some sort of Jesus freak then. Like, don't do that. Just say you have your own personal faith. That's how powerful it is in our culture, and maybe some of you in here have even bought into that as well. But it's not. God has not called us to just live a personal faith. God has called us to reach people, that God loves people. God loved you so much that he sent somebody into your life to be able to change your life. Then why would you not live that out as well? Romans 10:14 says this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in. Who are they? People who don't believe in Jesus? People who don't follow God? How can they call on him if they don't believe in him? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? How can they believe in Jesus when they don't even know about Jesus? And you think, well, we live in America. Everybody knows about Jesus. No, they don't. I am telling you that we live in a postmodern and a post-Christian society. We live in a culture today that doesn't know Jesus. They might know the name of Jesus, and they might think, well, Jesus people, they're weird, right? Like, they're, you know what they are? They're trying to push down everything that science is trying to teach us. You know what? I'll tell you what, they are anti this, they are anti that. That's the idea that people have about Christianity, and that's the idea that people have about Jesus. That Jesus is trying to keep them from living the way that they want to live. And we know that it's really the only way to find true freedom. Let me tell you something, that we live in a culture today. We live in a culture today that people do not know who Jesus truly is. And how will they know who he is if you haven't told them? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And I know you've heard it said, maybe some of you find comfort in it, that sometimes the greatest message that you can tell somebody is done with your life and not with your words, right? Let me tell you something. It's an easy way for us to be able to say, well, now I'm off the hook, right? Well, I'm just preaching with my lifestyle, which is fantastic. Don't be a hypocrite around there, even though we all are in a little bit, right? Even though every single one of us has hypocrisy inside of us because none of us are perfect, right? But we're trying to point people to the one who is. Let me tell you something. You need to share your faith. You need to tell people about your faith. You need to tell people about Jesus. How will they know if they have not been told? How will they be told if you haven't preached it to them? You need to share your faith with your coworkers. You need to share your faith with your friends. You need to share your faith with your family. You need to be generous with your faith. I can tell you how this world is going to be overcome. I can tell you how the enemy is going to be defeated. And it's by this. Romans 12:11 says, the triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and by the word of your testimony. What is our testimony? It is what we have seen and what we have experienced, and it is the word of our testimony. It is what we say about what God has done inside of us. I'm telling you, church, we need to be generous with our faith. For you to be able to add value to the church, you need to be generous with your faith. How about you be generous with how you talk about our church even? Man, you got to check out our church. You do not believe how, man, I love my church so much. How are you talking about our church at all times? That's powerful, isn't it? That we need to be unified. That we got to be excited about what God is doing inside of this place. That by the word of our testimony, what you have witnessed, we need to be generous with our faith. Maybe some of you in here, you're like, hey, but that's really hard for me. I'm a little bit more introverted. I'm scared to be able to talk about it. It can happen when you're newer in the faith. I don't know how to talk to people about this. And it can happen when you're older in the faith too, can it? You've just settled in it. Well, all my friends are already saved. Oh, my friends are just at church. What about the barista that you see every single day, right? But your coworkers that are around. Don't just get stuck in the rut. Or maybe you're just too nervous about sharing your faith. You know, it's hard for me. I get it. It is difficult because you don't want to offend somebody, and you also don't want to feel rejected, right? I understand that there is a timidity that we have, and it's difficult. And if you're in that place today, that you're like, you know what, I just am so thankful for what God has done inside of my heart. And I know that there's moments, but I just get scared and I stop myself from talking about my faith. I want you to pray this prayer. Acts 1:8 says this. So when Jesus was leaving the earth, that he talked to his disciples and he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, to do what? To be my witness? If you find yourself in a place where you're fearful, you're nervous, you're scared, you don't know the words to be able to say, pray that the Holy Spirit will come on you and give you power in those moments. I can tell you, and you can ask a lot of people that have been in those situations, you're like, you start praying, Holy Spirit, lead me in this, and then all of a sudden words just come to your mind. You're like, I don't know where that came from. It was the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you. If you find yourself in a place where you're not generous with your faith, pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, come on me. Give me power to be your witness, to be generous with the faith that you have blessed me with. Church, I'm telling you, we need to be generous, and we need to start with being generous with our faith. It is necessary, and it is a command that God has given us to be generous with our faith. Number two is this: we need to be generous with our time. God is calling us to be generous with our time. He has shown us, I believe that one of the most difficult ways to be able to trust God is with our time. And that's why one of the very first principles that God showed us, we talked about this last week with keeping margin, one of the first principles that God showed us is to be able to trust him with our time by giving us the principle of the Sabbath. Which what means what? Is that we dedicate time to God. We dedicate time to him. We follow him. And that we rest in those moments. That we need to make sure that we are generous with our time and that we are trusting God with our time. And in fact, he says this, he reiterates it again in Exodus 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must, oh, there it is again. Not that I'm calling you to this, not that that's just a suggestion for you to live this way. No, you must. This is a command. If you are a Christ follower, you must observe my Sabbaths. Why? It's going to be a sign to you to trust him. Not only that, when you show how dedicated you are to following God and trusting him with your time, guess what's going to happen? Your kids are going to see it. Your grandkids are going to see it. Generations are going to be changed. Why? Because you dedicated your time to God. Well, I don't have to. Going to church isn't the end-all, be-all of following Jesus, right? You're absolutely right. But if you just say, you know what, I'll go when it's convenient. I'll go when I feel like it. I'll go when we're not so busy. Your kids see that. And then what they're going to think is, it's not that big a deal. If it's not that big a deal to mom and dad, then why is it a big deal to me? Why is following God that big of a deal? You must observe the Sabbath. Why? Because your kids, your grandkids, and future generations that you don't even know about will be impacted because of your dedication to being generous with your time. Well, I'll follow it when it's just convenient for me. No, no, no. Exodus 34:21 says this. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest, even during the plowing season and harvest. Which means this, even at the busiest time of your season. This was an agricultural society, and that their income and livelihood depended on what time of the season? Plowing and harvest. I got to get out there. I got to make sure that I'm providing. I got to make sure that I'm providing for my family. I got to make sure that I'm providing for the people around me. And then after this season is done, then I'll go ahead and I'll recognize it. No, 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 it doesn't work that way. You must observe it when? At all times. People are going to see it. They're going to see your dedication when you are generous with your time. You know that each of us have the exact same amount of time? We all do, right? Every single one of us, that we have the exact same amount of time every single day. 1,440 minutes that each one of us has. And most of us, we spend about 1,200 of those minutes doing the exact same thing. Most of us spend 1,200 minutes doing the same thing that everybody else does. We're eating, we're sleeping, we're commuting, we're working, we're using the restroom, we're doing the exact same thing for about 1,200 minutes of that time. But what separates a successful person from somebody who is not as successful is what you're doing with that other 240 minutes every single day. What are you doing with those other 240 minutes every single day? See, I don't know about you, but if I want to be truly successful, I am not worried about being successful right here in this moment. I'm worried about being successful and making a difference for eternity. To be generous with my time for eternity. That this is just a little blink of an eye. It's fleeting. As for me and my house, we want to make a difference for eternity. What are you doing with your time? God is calling us to be generous with our time. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to be able to show and trust God with our time. But he gives us this principle. He said, you must do it. Follow it. And watch what's going to happen for you. God is calling us to be generous. No, no, no. That's too soft of a word. God is commanding us to be generous. Generous with our faith, generous with our time. And the last one that we need to make sure that we are generous, we need to be generous with our finances. That's the one that we kind of think about the most, right? When we think about being generous, we think about money. We just think about being generous with our money. And absolutely, God is calling us to be generous. You hear me talk about it all the time, that God calls us as an organization to be generous. In fact, we support, on a monthly basis, we support 7 missionaries globally. Missionaries that are reaching students right here in Arizona. Missionaries that are planting churches in England, that are planting churches in Egypt. We have missionaries that are in the Middle East in places that we can't even tell you where they're at because of the sensitivity. Like, they're out there living. They're living dangerous, I'll tell you that right now, right? They're making a difference for people. We have missionaries on a global scale that we support on a monthly basis. We have 2 different feeding organizations that we get to help feed kids all across the globe that don't have food. One of them is with an organization called Feed One, which we're partnering with to go on our very first missions trip this June. And if you haven't signed up to get more information about it, you need to do it today. Right outside in the lobby, there's a little sign-up sheet. I want to encourage you, even if you think, well, maybe I should go, then you definitely should go sign up for it, okay? Like, you're not committing at that moment when you write down your email address that you're going to be going. You just need more information about it. Why? Because you're going to make a difference. Because we, as an organization, we are making a difference. We support 2 different church planting organizations. Come on, somebody, we love church plants around here, right? We need to be able to see, I love it, every single school was filled with a church. Like, every school, every movie theater, every open storefront that's around, like, every time I drive by an empty building, I'm like, man, that's a great place for a church right there. Like, that's fantastic. It's somebody's house. They're like, I don't care. Just, like, they need more churches, you know? I love churches. We want to be able to see more churches. We believe as an organization that God has called us to be generous and willing to share. And as individuals, God is calling us to be generous and willing to share with what? With our money. Oh, man, I don't want to hear, like, oh, church is all about money. Let me tell you something. God talks about money. Jesus talks about money more in the New Testament than he does about prayer. Why? Because I can tell you that I believe the 2 hardest areas to be able to show that you value and that you trust God are the areas of time and money. Well, I want to be able to give God everything else, but my money's really hard, right? Money's really, really difficult for me. Like, okay, I'll go ahead and I'll join the dream team and I'll serve in this area, but this one's really, really hard. Come on, pastor, like, it's fine for somebody who has a lot, but I don't have a lot, and I'm just getting by. You know, like, I'll get to the place where I can be generous. It's hard, isn't it? But that's what God is calling us. No. That's what God is commanding us to do. If you are a follower of Jesus, he is commanding us to be generous and willing to share. What does that look like for us? Malachi 3:10 says this. It says, bring the whole tithe. What is tithe? Maybe you've heard it before, but I just want to be able to help you with this. Tithe literally means 10%. That's what it means. Bring the whole tithe. Bring 10% of your income. Right? Like, that's a... Some of y'all feeling that like 10%. You know what 10% is? Yeah, 10% can be, it can add up a little bit. The more you make, the more 10% is, okay? You know? If you don't want to be able to have a lot of 10%, then go get a job at McDonald's. You'll be all right. Then it won't feel so bad for you, maybe, right? Bring the whole tithe. Let me tell you something, that when you are a follower of Jesus, this is the baseline for giving. This is the starting point for giving. Bring the entire tithe, and then this into the storehouse. What does that mean? That means into church, in this setting. It's not giving to church, it's giving to God, and this is just the place that you're going to do that, to be able to see his mission fulfilled, to be able to see people get reached in a powerful way, to be able to see lives get changed the way that yours was. And bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, and then what happens? That there may be food, that there's resources for things to be able to happen here, that we can be able to use those resources to be able to reach people. And then he says, test me in this. Only time. Test me. And guess what's going to happen? I'm gonna throw open the floodgates. I'm gonna make sure that every single one of your needs is supplied for. That's what happens. Test me in this. That's the baseline giving. Some of you, I understand that maybe you, if you're new, newer to following Jesus, that you're like, man, that is difficult. Like, seriously, that's really, really. Do you understand I have to change my lifestyle in that? Yeah, I do. I understand that because I had to walk through that process as well, right? To change my lifestyle to make sure that I was following God, because following God was much more important than me just going out and getting a nice dinner. It just was. So I want to encourage you. This is something powerful for you to be able to tell yourself. And this is what I want you to hear. God can do so much more with your 90% than you can do with your 100%. It just happens. I can't explain it. It's called a miracle is what it is. That's what happens. When you trust God, he can do so much more with 90% than you can with 100%. Test him. See what happens. And I'm going to tell you, it will happen. That's all there is to it. That's how it works. In God's economy, he can do so much more with your 90% than you can do with 100% every single day of the week. This is such an important prayer. I want you to be able to put this in and remember this. I give God my first and my best, and I'm going to trust him with the rest. I would much rather trust God with everything that I have than trust myself. Because I don't know about you, but I'm faulty and I'm weak at times. Like, I'm pretty bright. I can figure things out pretty well, but nowhere close to how God does. I'm going to give him my first and my best in everything that I have, and I'm going to trust him with the rest. And I know that he can do so much more with my 90% than I can do with 100% all the time. And again, I understand that this is something that might be hard for you. And I understand that getting to 100% or giving to 10% of the tithe, that's a hard thing to do. Especially if you've never given before, and then you're like, 10% of like of what's in my pocket right now, like that's okay, but 10% of like income, like that's a lot, right? Like we understand that. And I get it. And so just to help you with this, we want to go through something that will really get us to the place to have you get to that baseline level where God wants you to be, and maybe even beyond. And to really kind of help you along, again, not to just be like a slam in the face where all of a sudden you're just like, man, I can't handle this right now. We want to set you up for success in that. And so we have a teaching that we call the generosity ladder. Generosity ladder, and some of you in here have been here before when we've talked about this, and what we've done with this generosity ladder is we have steps that we take to help you get to the level that God wants you. And in the past, what has happened is that I climb up this ladder every single step of the way to help illustrate what it means to be able to follow God, right? And some of you are looking like, oh, dear Jesus, please. Like, you're literally praying, please do not have this happen. Like, I know that we're a dangerous church, but this is to another level, right? Like, and in fact, I've been up on this top rung here twice before, and but that was before we had this stage over here, and if you have not been here, this stage wasn't always this high. It used to be only this high, and now it's a lot higher. And so everybody told me that, hey, Pastor, you can't get up on that stage, on that ladder anymore. Like, you can't do it. But we still want to be able to illustrate the power of the generosity ladder. So I need a little bit of help. Anybody want to be able to climb up on top of the ladder today? Anybody want to be able to do that? Anybody just renew their life insurance policy? You know, like, yeah, some of you would just want to be like, I just like being on the stage. You know, that's what, but I need a little bit of help. I want to be able to illustrate the generosity ladder. So I need a little bit of help. And I'm going to get a little bit of help from Mario this week. That's what we're going to be able to do. Get a little help from Mario. Mario's going to help us with the generosity ladder this week. And hopefully this is going to be something that will really speak to you. So in the generosity ladder, you can bring that down just a little bit, but it's still there. Love Mario, man. That you could tell when I grew up, I was a child of the 80s, right? Like, that's what it is. And so with the generosity ladder, we want to help you get to the place where you truly can be generous with everything that God has given you to be generous with. And so the first thing that we want to help you with is to understand that every single person in here is a potential giver. Every single person, there's Mario, he's climbing up that ladder right there. I love you. Thank you so much, Mario. But every single person in here is a potential giver. It doesn't matter if God has blessed you with a great job that has a great income, or maybe you're just in a place where you're like, you know what, hey, this is what I have. Then I would suggest to you that you still have the potential. In fact, even my six-year-old is a potential giver. He earns money on the side doing things around our house that are not just expected chores, but things that are above and beyond. And we give him that opportunity. We don't give him an allowance. Man, you got to earn it, man. Like, that's just allowance. Like, you're not allowed to have this money. You got to earn the money, you know. And so, but he, when that happens, or he gets a birthday card or something like that, that each and every single one of those, even a quarter, it's a potential gift to God. First, you need to understand that you are a potential giver. It doesn't matter where you are in your stage of life. You are a potential giver. That's the first thing that you need to understand. After you have understood that you are a potential giver and that you can give your gift to God, that you can trust him with your first and your best, and he will bless the rest. Once you understand that, the next step on the ladder is you need to become an emerging giver. He's getting his way up with that ladder, isn't he? I love it so much. He's getting his way up there because you need to, that's the first step for you. To say, you know what? I've never done this before, but maybe you're at church and you feel like, you know what? Hey, I'm gonna do something crazy. I've got a 20 in my pocket or something like that, and you just say, you know what? I'm gonna do this. I was planning on going out to lunch, but you know what? This is a bigger deal. This is something that I need to be able to do to really show God that I trust him. And you do it, it's an emerging, you're doing it for the first time. And that's what we would suggest to you, that if you understand that you're a potential giver, that you're newer to following God, that I want to help you. And it's exciting to be able to take that first step. It's exciting to see what God is going to be able to do and to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to take that first step on the ladder. And if that's you, I just want to be able to cheer along with you because I know how big of a deal that is. And I just want to say thank you so much for following and becoming an emerging giver. That is a great day for you to be able to celebrate. But that's just another step on the ladder. The next step for some of you that you need to be able to take after you've become an emerging giver is you need to take the next step to become a consistent giver. That you're thinking about it. That you're not just saying like, oh, well, I had an extra $5 bill in my pocket and the bucket was going around, so I'll just go ahead and put that in there. No, that you thought it through. That you planned on giving. That you planned on saying, you know what, I've got something. I remember, where was that $5 bill? And you're on your way to church and everybody else is in the car. And you say, you know, I've got to find that first before we get to church because I know what I'm going to do with this. And I'm going to do it on a consistent basis. Or maybe for some of you, that's saying, you know what, I'm going to set up online, a consistent giving online, which is great. That's powerful for me and my family, that we just do it on a consistent basis. And you go online, and it is an easy process, and then it's just there. and it's just on a consistent basis, it's just without question, I'm going to trust God, I've already set it up, boom, done. And you're doing it on a consistent basis. And then after you've got to that place where you've taken that step onto the ladder, then the next step for you to be able to go is that's when you become a tither. That's when you say, you know what, I'm giving on a consistent basis, and what am I giving? 10%. The whole tithe. I am bringing the whole tithe to God, and I'm going to follow God because, God, I know that you can do more with 90% than I can do with 100%. And I know because I've seen you follow through and come through and be faithful to me on a consistent basis as I have been consistent in giving. And so I am going to bring the whole tithe to you. And that's where you take that step. That's where you become that baseline, the expectation of what God has for us. Because I can tell you that when you trust God and you put your money where your mouth is, you put your money where your faith is, watch what's going to happen. It is an abundant life that you're going to experience. You're going to be like, I didn't even know that. Where did that come from? How did that happen? Like, this doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, it's called a miracle. And I don't know about you, but I love to be able to walk in God's miracles. I want to be able to see God's miracles happen when? On a consistent basis in my life. When I follow him and his principles for my life. Become a tither. That's what God has for you. Bring the whole tithe. You're taking steps up that ladder. Understand that I have the potential. I'm going to take that step. I'm going to go ahead and give. This is a big one for me, and I celebrate that. And we celebrate doing it on a consistent basis. It's fantastic. We want to help you take that next step and become a tither. But that's not where we end. That's not the end all for us. God's end is not for us to just be able to be in that place where we say, okay, I'm a tither, that's it, and I'm done. No, we want to be generous and continuing to go. And so the biggest step for each of us to take on that is to become an extravagant giver. Man, you hit the top of the flagpole right there, right? Like, woohoo, got the victory, right? The fireworks. You even hit it on 0-0. Woo, fireworks, you know? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. We want to help you become an extravagant giver. This is the person that says, you know what? The 10% is not what's important to me. It's the 90%. What can God do through me in the 90% now? That's an extravagant giver. That is living out generosity on a powerful level. That's all of a sudden. Man, God's doing something powerful and crazy inside of your heart. And when you get to that level, oh my goodness gracious. Some of you even know what that's like, where you're like, man, it really is more blessed to give than receive, right? Like, you get it. Like, it's a joy inside of your heart. And it's not about that 10%, which I know is a big thing. But all of a sudden, God just shifts something inside of your heart and says, man, what can I do with the rest of this 90%? I want to be generous as often as I possibly can. In fact, that's what he says in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. It says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. You only plant one seed, you might not even get the one plant to come up, right? But if you ever sow generously, whoever sows generously, you're going to reap generously. That's where we want you to get to the point where you are living a blessed life. That we don't simply give because we want to be able to get ourselves. That's just a byproduct of it. That when you sow generously, that you're going to reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Continue on. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. We're not trying to, guilt you into things. In fact, if you call this your home church, that most of the time, you don't hear me just railing. You guys got to tithe. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. I'm just telling it like it is. Just trying to give you biblical teaching. I'm not trying to manipulate you and have you give under compulsion. No. Instead, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God is calling us. Nope. Again, I use that word. God is commanding us to be generous and willing to share. God is commanding Focus 314 to be generous and willing to share. If you are a follower of Jesus, he is commanding you to be generous and willing to share. And church, we want to help you go up that ladder. We want to help you take steps along that generosity ladder to get to the place where God is truly blessing you, where you are doing it out of the joy inside of your heart. Not under any kind of compulsion, but it's the joy that God has given you, and you can't wait to be able to give generously. We want to help you along in that process to become an emerging giver. Maybe take the next step and become a consistent giver. Maybe take a big step. I know how big of a step that is, and to say, you know what, it's not just doing it on a consistent basis anymore. I'm going in. I'm gonna be a tither. I'm gonna test God in this. This is gonna be a stretch. Or maybe for some of you to be able to say, you know what, God, what can you do crazy in my life? What can you do crazy in this situation? And give as extravagantly as God has given to you. He gave you everything. And you can say, now, God, what can you do with the 90% that's left? What can I do that's a powerful moment? We want to help you in that. And so we're going to have a day. We're going to have a day in our church, and you're going to hear me talk about it from now until then during the offering time. But on December 16th, we're going to call it our Miracle Sunday. It's the same Sunday that we're going to have our kids' performance up here. It's going to be a great, wonderful day. But we're going to have a day that we're going to have a Miracle Sunday, and specifically talking about bringing in a miracle gift for God. Because I don't know about you, but I want to see miracles happen in our church. I want to see miracles happen on a consistent basis in our church. And if we trust God with our finances, man, watch what he's going to do inside of your life. It's going to be a miracle to hear miracles happen, to see miracles happen within our church. I want to see a miracle happen in your life. I want to be able to see miracles happen in our community. I want to be able to see miracles happen as we continue to support Tony and Jamie Sebastian in Greece. I want to be able to see miracles continue to happen. And how does that happen? When we trust God with our first and our best, and he is going to bless us with the rest. And so we're going to have a specific day to be able to see what God is going to be able to do in a miraculous way. We've never done this before as a church. But I can tell you that even the things that we have here at the church, that there's some things that we've been dreaming about, miracles that can begin to happen. There are things that I want to be able to do with our Feed One trip, with our Haiti trip that's coming up, and it takes a miracle. It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take a miracle for each and every single one of us to be able to take a step of faith up that ladder and see what God is going to do in us and through us. I am believing for 2019 to be full of the miraculous work of Jesus. Can I get an amen today?